Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
This is our new home. Hope you really like it. My heart is, we've been praying for this day over the last 2.5 months since we knew we were going to be coming here, is that we start to own what God is doing, not just in this building, and we just gather in this building for the sake of gathering in this building, but then we start to own this whole area of Sunnybank and inevitably own our city. How many of you know that no matter where you live in the city, now I may be biased by saying this, but how many of you know that the best food that you can find anywhere in Brisbane is in Sunnybank? Yeah, can I get an amen? Somebody? Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm really believing that the best spiritual food you'll be able get here as well. My heart too is that you get your gut full as well as your heart full. So turn to somebody, encourage them. I hope you're ready to receive what God has for you here today. Right, we're going to get into the Word of God today. As we do, I just wanted to celebrate with you this moment, because this is historic in our growth as a church. I don't know if you realize, when Tina and I arrived and we took the reins of the church from Pastor Ken Du, the founding pastor of this great church, we were meeting at UQ campus, and many of you will remember this, those of you who were a part of that well, there was only 40 of us in that lecture theater when we were told graciously that you need to find a new place. And it's always a stretch. It's always a stretch to go. We went and met at BMAC at QMC for 2 years, and God really blessed us with more growth there. And how many of you would look around and see that God is indeed growing us as a church? Not just numerically, but I really believe, even as your pastor, that I've grown up a lot in just seeing God grow this church. And so that's my heart, that we don't just grow numerically, but we also grow spiritually as a house. And I think that's something worthy of celebration, right? So when I think about celebration, how many of you think, and it's a bit hard for me to talk about this because I talked about it last week, but how many of you think about feasting when you celebrate? There's always going to be food. I think about wedding feasts. I think about, you know, you go to the wedding and you go for the formalities. I know none of you do this, but when you go to the formalities, you are waiting for the announcement as to where the reception is, so that you can dine graciously. And so it's been interesting because for the last 8 years before coming here, I lived in Singapore and experienced different weddings and different cultures as well. Very different to the Samoan weddings where you invite 80 people and you get 300 that show up. And then some auntie you never met before in your life shows up with a black plastic bag after the wedding. Takeaway, apparently you hear takeaway is something that you... And then going to weddings in Asia, where they say they have an 8-course meal at the wedding, and I love it too, but the courses are like, it's not a course, that's a cracker. And so here's the first course, and it's like a leaf. And then the next course is like the tip of the claw of a squid or something like that, you know. And then I'm waiting for the chicken and the pork to come, and it always comes at the end, but by that time you are full of leaves and claws and shark fin soup, and then by the end of it, yeah, now the pork, and you're like, I'm done. So it's been interesting, you know, like, experiencing feasting and celebration in different venues in different nations. And I've always wondered, you know, like, how does your venue or how does your culture celebrate weddings or festivities? I saw this actually. How many Kiwis you got in the house today? Yeah, you be careful now because I'm about to put us to shame. Because I saw this in February on the news. This, you know how when you watch the news and then at the end of the news they had the life story, like some puppy dog and, you know, fell in the river and, oh, he was rescued. Like, this was the life, and of course it was on Australian television because they wanted to mock the New Zealanders. But apparently there was a wedding here at KFC in Whangarei, North of the North Island, and made the news here in Australia. I am so ashamed of the gospel. I know KFC stands for Kids for Christ, but that was not a good moment for us as New Zealanders to be seen on Australian television having weddings at KFC. Like, there's a place for it, right? There's a place for the way that we should feast. Now, I always thought about God's picture of what heaven is like. Have you ever thought about this? Like, different religions have different pictures of what heaven is like. But I love Jesus' picture of what heaven looks like. You know why? Because it's a feast. Turn to somebody, high five. If you like a feast, like, you don't have to pay for this. You don't have to bring a black plastic bag with you. Like, you stay at the feast. You live at the feast. Like, after you're done with the feast, you can have a mattress and resurrect again and eat again. That's what heaven, heaven's going to be good. And you don't put on any weight. I love it. Because you are in your glorified body. I mean, God's heaven is a feast. Now we go to scripture. As we look at scripture, we can see what it says about the feast. And it says here in Luke chapter 14, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. And the audience for this scripture, as it is, as we're encountering what Jesus is doing, Jesus is having a meal, and he's in the presence of a lot of Pharisees again and teachers. Last week I talked about a meal. This week I'm going to talk about a meal again. Out of the abundance of the heart, or lack thereof, the mouth will preach. Verse 15, it says, when one of those who reclined at the table heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And then another said to him, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room, still is room. And the master said, to the servant, go to the highways and the hedges and compel, everybody say compel, compel people to come in that my house may be filled, for I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. God bless the reading of his holy word. We pray, God, that we would learn as a church to always be in celebration mode. Father, that we would be festive. Lord, we bring the joy everywhere that we go. Lord, the festivities of the feast that we're a part of because we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message today is, you can't take it with you. Everybody say that with me. You can't take it with you. Earlier this week, there was a plane crash that happened in Dubai. Did any of you see this? Like, the plane was struggling to land, and when it finally landed, the engine was on fire. They managed to get everybody out of the plane. But many of you, how many of you have flown an airplane before? All right? Don't laugh, some of us, you know, one day. But it's funny because, you know, that part where I'm, you know, once you've flown a lot, you kind of dull your ears to the announcements. I know some of us are really attentive, but some of us dull our ears to the announcements when they say, you know, like, when you are to exit the plane, you're not supposed to take stuff with you. And now, a woman was filming, firstly, she shouldn't have been filming, but she was filming this whole escapade when they landed in the Dubai airport, and people were told to get out of the plane, but they still went and opened the overhead locker to grab all of their stuff out of the plane. And there was a delay in getting out because they wanted to make sure they had their duty-free on board before they slid down. Thankfully, nobody died. All 300 passengers were able to escape. A firefighter, though, died in the rescue of the blaze, and there were many injured. But how many of you know, like, when they tell you these things, they tell you for a reason. Your life is in jeopardy. You can't take it with you. You've really got to take, if you value your life, you'll take it and leave the duty free on the plane, or leave whatever you brought with you on the plane. I just came back from Hawaii. I would have gladly left my macadamia nuts on the plane in order to save my life. But how many of you know, like, we live in a world, unfortunately, where we think that we can take stuff with us. And so when we look at the feast, now, I don't know about you, but when I think about God's picture from Scripture, what heaven looks like, I actually get really excited. I think, wow, it's a feast. Have you thought about this? It's a feast. It's a party, everybody. But we walk into some environments where we have worship or church, and it seems like there's no feast or no, not even the food aspect, but no celebration. Christians sometimes are the most joyless, sad people in the world. I mean, Jesus just died for us so we could experience the joy of the Lord that is our strength. I mean, the Bible says that in his presence, how many of you know his presence is here? Okay, fight the afternoon nap. I can see some of y'all like, amen. Listen to me, everybody. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Not just a little drip of it, not just half joy. I mean, there is fullness of joy. There's every reason to party if you are in Christ because you've been saved by him. Now, here's what I'm getting at. If we go back to look at Scripture, Luke 14, verse 15. Now, they're all there with a bunch of Pharisees, and Jesus tells them about the, you know, like, when you open up your home, you're supposed to open it up to the poor, the broken, and the lonely. And of course, the Pharisees get a little offended. This one guy in verse 15 says, you know, he kind of comes over because he wants to be on Jesus' good side. How many of you know somebody like that? Not you, but a friend, you know, like, the teacher's pet. They come up and, yeah, I thought the same thing too, Jesus. You know, this is the way Jesus was approached by this man. He says, you know, blessed is everybody, you know, who will eat the bread of the kingdom of God. You know, using the right language. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Jesus, you are the man. And then Jesus says, okay, you think you got this? I love it when Jesus breaks things down. Again, another meal in Luke. He starts to differentiate two groups of people. And he breaks it down in a parable. Because sometimes, for those of us who've been in churchianity, not Christianity, but churchianity, you know what I mean? Like, you've lived in the lifestyle of Christianity, but it's become so much of a culture, you're so far into those who are outside of the church. It's what we call churchianity. Sometimes we need to understand that when Jesus preaches this way, he always differentiates between two groups of people. He'll see the afflicted and bring comfort, but he sees the comfortable and he'll bring affliction. And so here's what he does. He says, he goes into a parable, because stories are easier to embrace until the punchline comes. Oh! Verse 16, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Now, many of you know that throughout the Old Testament, there are 40 plus prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ. We believe as Christians that he is the embodiment of all the messianic prophecies that are given in Psalms, Isaiah, throughout the major and minor prophets. We read about the coming of this king that would come between 700 to 500 years later in the person of Jesus Christ. How many of you, when you read the Old Testament, you believe, yeah, that's Jesus? Well, if you look at the Old Testament, which a lot of these Jewish believers, the Pharisees at the time, they knew that there was an invitation to come towards this Messiah who would eventually emerge on the scene. And so Jesus is saying here, many were invited throughout this time. Many were invited to this great banquet. Verse 17, and at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say, those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Jesus is saying this, all you guys have been waiting for in regards to these messianic prophecies, this is it. Reclining at this table in your house is the embodiment of this banquet. I'm about to lay my life down, become the bread and the cup symbolizing the wine, which is the joy, which we talked about last week, the bread, which is the body broken for the people. And so in the embracing of Jesus Christ coming onto the scene, we are therefore coming into the banquet. But the people were expecting something different. And so when the invitation came through Jesus Christ, he says, here we go, banquet time, it's on now, baby. Are you ready to dine with the king? Here's the answers. I mean, how many of you, if you were invited for a free feed somewhere, you didn't have to pay, you didn't even have to go home, like you're around some of the best people and you just eat forever and ever and ever. Fava, 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 you know, forever, on and on and on and How many of you are like, my goodness, I'm there. But look at these excuses. Verse 18, he says, but they all alike began to make excuses. Mm-mm. How many of us have been invited to this feast, but have been hindered by our excuses? The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Now, when we look at the field, we look at his possessions, right? A field is something he owned. And so he put his field in front of this banquet, the master who has given us this opportunity to come and dine at this banquet. Now, Jesus is saying, this banquet holds much more value than your silly field. But the person who's been anticipating and waiting for this banquet says, you know what? I kind of like my field. The field is representative of your possessions or your property. How many of us would say, if God was to take certain things out of our lives, you'd lose all sense of purpose? For some of us, that can be our vehicle. For some of us, that's our phone, or that's our PS4, or you know, whatever it is. Your makeup kit. See, I'm getting like slight giggles from some females. But what is it that we possess sometimes? Sometimes we possess things and we're hesitant to let it go. To say, you know what, these possessions don't mean a thing compared to being in the presence of the king at his banquet. When I think about Luke, actually in the book of Mark, Jesus is approached by a rich young ruler. If you show in this picture, it kind of looks like this, because the rich young ruler says, what must they do to inherit eternal life, good teacher? Jesus says, only God is good. Why do you call me good? He says, well, you know the scriptures. Come on, you've been in Sunday school. And so this man says, well, you know, you got to honor your father and mother. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. Do not bear false witnesses. Like, good. One thing you lack. Don't sell everything you have and give it to the poor. It wasn't necessarily the act of having that stuff. It was the fact that that stuff had him. Are you with me? Like, that stuff was his God. And therefore, the stuff took precedence over the king and his banquet. And therefore, the king's banquet didn't look as attractive to him anymore, because he was anticipating the stuff. And the Bible says that he walked away from Jesus with his head down because he had much possessions. How many of us, you know, have things in our lives? It can be money as well. And I'll tell you this, there is no way that those things can fill the void that only God can fill. You'll only want more. We think that the word lust is sexual. It's not just sexual. It's an insatiable desire for things that cannot quench the thirst of your soul. And so we lust after money. We lust after our career. We lust after degrees. We lust after, you know, the right person. We look at our spouse as a possession sometimes. And some of us get married and you're like, well, you know, she's the one. And then you marry the one. And then 1 year later, it's like, oh, I need to upgrade. Is there a 2.0 version? No. And first of all, you need a 2.0 yourself. And so the servant comes back and he reports these things to the master. And then the master of the house became angry. And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, and blind and lame. Now, some of us in this church may have an issue with this, but this is who's invited to the feast: the poor, the blind, the crippled, and the lame. And some of us may be like, the feast was sounding good, Pastor Nelly, until you started talking about these people that are invited to the party. Don't you realize how dignified I am? I cannot be in the presence of poor. Here's the thing, you can only come into the feast if you once recognize without Christ, you're poor, you're broken, you're blind, you're lonely. Without Christ, you are all four of these, buddy. As one who's grown up in church, it wasn't until God showed me how poor in spirit I was, how broken I was, how afflicted I was, how blind I was, until by his grace he revealed his gospel to me and said, look, it's not by what you've achieved, because buddy, your achievements are like filthy rags to me. They disgust me. But it's by the price that I paid. And guess what? Jesus' invitation card to us was by him. The God of the universe coming down to earth and becoming poor. Right. Becoming broken. You want to see those thorns in his head, blood streaming down his eyes. You better believe he was blind on that cross. His invitation card was not only to the poor and broken and blind, but it was because he was poor. He was, the Bible says that foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was poor, he was broken, and he was lonely. And that's why we can trust him. Why? Because every other religion will teach about it, but Jesus became it in order to invite us into the feast. And so when he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn twain, the Bible says in King James, that from the top, from heaven down, it was torn, so that the presence of God that was only made available to the high priests at that time was now available to every single one of us, even at the ends of the earth, called us triumphant. We can now enter into the banquet because somebody became poor and broken and lonely and blind for our sake. And so Jesus himself says, okay, these suckers don't want to come. I'm inviting the poor, the broken, the lonely, the blind. Come on in. I once was blind, but now I see. And he invites us, and it's only in that condition of brokenness and having a contrite heart that we can enter in to the presence of this great banquet called heaven. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to just let our statuses evaporate, because that doesn't matter to the King of all kings, who was once broken, poor, blind, lonely, all for our sake. So he invites us. And this is what I just wanted to close with this thought. Now, I want you to catch this. In verse 23, it says, and the master said to the servant, go out to the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, if you look at verse 22, it says, you know, once the poor and the broken and the lonely came in, and the blind, they came in, the servant goes to the master and says, sir, there's still room. There's still room. I want you to look around this room right now. Just take an opportunity. Wake the person up next to you. I know these lights are kind of seductive towards you. You know my voice can kind of lead you that way. But how many of you know there's still room in this room? Look, we will make room. We will add extra services on this thing. We will make room so that people can come into this banquet. That's why God's given us this awesome venue, for us to be able to grow into. Compel them to come. He says, go to the highways and the hedges. Did you see that in the verse? Go to the highways and the hedges and find people. Just compel them to come. Now, I understand highways. You can find people on highways, like the homeless, right? But hedges, like in the bush. I live here. The bush people. He is saying, my brothers and sisters, how many of you are followers of Christ? He is saying to us to go to the ends of Brisbane, go to the highways and the hedges, go where the broken are, go where the poor are, go where the broken and the lonely are, because they can find everything they need right in here in the presence of God in this church. We are not a church that will shy away from reaching the broken. We don't want to be the sort of church that just has our own little, you know, celebration here in this beautiful venue, and we celebrate how good how God is, and nobody in Sunnybank knows that they can find the hope of Christ in here. Why? Because we've become a little ghetto unto ourselves, when the hope that is in us should be flowing through us out onto the streets of this great city. There are almost 3 million people. If you count the Gold Coast, there's almost 3 million people in the city. The biggest churches in this city are around 8,000-9,000 people. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do. And we're not trying to just grow a big church for the sake of growing a big church. But we want to make disciples until the point where everybody, my heart is that everybody in Queensland, not just Brisbane, in Queensland, will be discipled, or at least have the opportunity to hear the invitation to this great banquet in God is inviting us to. So let's finish up by just looking at this last verse here. And it says, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Some of us have been in this room, we've grown up in church, but we've dulled our ears to the gospel. We need to just be straight up with you. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your religious thought. And I know that may sound offensive, but that's the way it needs to be with us religious people. I know that my proclivity is towards being religious. And sometimes we need a good shaking. And that's why God would say, you know what, you need to stop with all the religious behavior and praise the Lord, brother, and hiding your secret sin. You need to come and you need to repent. For thinking that, you know, just because you were born in the church, you're invited to the banquet. No. That's not the way we roll here. Poor, broken, lonely. That's how we enter in. You need to repent. Repentance means turning away from sin and turning away from pride and turning towards the God who paid the price that we may enter in. So let's look at those three things. Possessions, provision, and partnerships. Some of us have those three things, one of those three things, maybe all of those three things that have hindered us from being invited to the place of this banquet. And God would call us all to gladly lay them down in the presence of God. I'm not trying to sell you something, because I believe the gospel itself is more than powerful on its own to compel somebody to come and have their life transformed in this banquet that He invites us to. But He's calling us to recognize that we, without Him, we are poor, we're crippled, we're blind, and we're lame, we're broken. But in His presence, we become whole, we become new creatures, new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. And so He invites us. Will you come? He compels us to come in.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.